Well, it's good to have you here today. I want to welcome all of our folks on the YouTube and my family and Darlene and everybody. We have one of our young men who's got the mic tonight. You got it? We got a political question. Over here, man. Come on. Hey, Cody. Go here, Cody. I love political questions since I'm such a political individual. Here we go.
I was just going to ask you, how should I vote as a Christian?
How should you vote as a Christian? Yeah. Well, you know, in most elections, they have write-in candidates. Now, if I have to tell you who your write-in candidate needs to be, then you really got some problems. You know, that's a question. That's a very good question. I would never tell anybody how to vote. I would never tell anybody if they shouldn't be a Democrat or they shouldn't be a Republican. I don't think I have the right to dictate anybody what their political views are any more than I have a right to dictate what their religious views are. I preach the Bible, and within that context of that Bible, I try to lay out the guidelines for not only the Christian life, but for, you know, life in America and understanding how to approach an election like that's coming up. This is kind of going to be a kind of a confusing election in 2024. I don't know of any time in my life. I can't think of any time, and I may be wrong, but I don't think I am. I don't think of any time down through history where ever two candidates that were going to run for president were under federal indictments. That kind of sets it off all by itself. So, you know, and it may be by the time we get to 2024, instead of them picking running mates, they're picking cellmates. I don't know. It's very confusing times today. It really is. John Christensen, you know, I got on this bandwagon a while back, and John come up afterwards and made a good point that I didn't see, because I was talking about, you know, and who's worth voting for and who's worth this, and he come up afterwards and he says, you know, one thing that you would always want to look at is, if everything else is a wash, you'll want to look at the guy you're voting for, how he's going to take care of the nation of Israel. Now, that's a really good point. I'd like to say I thought of that, but I didn't think of that, but it's a good point. I should have thought of that, but it's a really good point. So this is going to be a tough one coming up. And I don't know. Now, don't take this wrong. I don't know if it matters how anybody votes this next election. As far as the Republicans are concerned. Now, Republicans are conservatives. I get that. And conservatives are people who have a real good value system for the country. There's no question about that. They want to have America like it once was. I get that. I understand that. And I can applaud that. And I want the country to be, in my best wishes, wish it was back the way that it was. I really do. But here's the problem. There was a time when the majority of the people of this country wanted a country that had a good value system. The majority of the people in this country wanted conservative idea. They didn't want their kids being told in school or asked in school when they're 4 or 5, what sex do you think you really are? They don't want some of the stuff, the woke stuff being taught. They want to get back to a traditional value system. And so you see guys like the Saints in Florida. He's a very good conservative. He's done a great job in Florida. You got the Texas governor down there in Texas. You know, he's very conservative, and people want their country back. Trump played on that. And I'm not saying that was wrong that he played on that. He come up with the idea, make America great again. I get that. He did a lot of good things. He's a conservative. He is looked at by the conservatives, or at least a portion of them, as, you know, a guy that can bring this country back the way it once was. And, you know, then you have the Democrats on the other side who have completely lost their minds with the way it is in this country. Crime is at a point, you know, we live in the Midwest, so we're kind of in a buffer zone, so to speak. The Midwest is still pretty much what the Midwest. I mean, we're not like the East Coast or the West Coast. We're kind of in the middle. And it's still good here. I mean, you have crime in Kansas City, but not like you got in New York or Chicago or Washington or San Francisco. All of these places are suffering beyond magnitude. The big high-dollar stores are pulling out of San Francisco, closing their doors. You go into a Target in California, and now everything is behind glass. You can't just walk down, and you've got to have somebody with a key. In those states, the homeless rate is unparalleled. You can't walk on the sidewalks anymore. An example is that a woman was walking down the street because she couldn't walk on the sidewalk. A police officer came up and was going to give her a ticket because in that particular city, pedestrians can't walk in the street, but you can't walk on the sidewalk either. This is the mindset that we have. They've now passed laws that you can't evict a homeless person. You can't ask them or give them any hassle because now they have the right to sue you for $1,000. So they're taking over in all of these cities. And people are tired of that. People don't want that. New York City was just today. A crazy guy on the subway had 15 priors and had a warrant out for assault. Was on the subway starting assaulting people, hit 4, 5, 8, or 9 people. A guy that's 30 years old that was in the Marine Corps subdued him, and in the process of subduing him from hurting all these people, the guy died. So what do they do in New York? They're charging the guy with murder. That's where you're at today. It's a thing where, and conservatives are just fed up with that. And look at the border. Now, we're not affected by the border up here. Kansas City, I mean, they may bust some guys up, people up here, I don't know. But it isn't like El Paso, Texas. It isn't like Brownsville, Texas, and those border places. And wait till next week when Title 42 goes away, which kept them back to some degree. They're going to come across the border 1 million a day. Nobody has any plan for it, the Democrats. They're going to overwhelm the border towns. You can't lift a finger to defend yourself or you go to jail. And all these Democrat cities that back in the day wrote up their flag, sanctuary cities. So the guy in Texas, he's shipping them up there. And now they're going to Chicago to go to New York, and now they're screaming because, you know, that they're picking on them of sending all these illegal and all these migrants up there to their cities when they openly claimed, 2, 3 years ago, that we are sanctuary cities. It's a mess. The conservatives, whoever runs for president, if it's Trump, And he's declared himself he's going to run. You know, we're a year and a half away yet. Some of the rest of them that have declared, I'm not really concerned about one way or the other. They won't make it. The Saints is going to be his biggest issue from Florida. But here's the problem. Joe Biden's approval rating as president is 37%. He's caught up in more scandals than Bill Clinton ever thought about. All Bill had was Monica Lewinsky to deal with. I mean, this guy, I mean, it's unbelievable. And then he got his boy, Hunter. I mean, this thing is just boiling over. I mean, what happened to decency, morality, standards that you have? And, you know, it's a thing where it's, I just don't get it. We had a shooting down in Tennessee a couple of weeks ago. Three police officers charged in there and got shot. In the state Senate, three radical Democrats got up and disrupted the whole thing, took a bullhorn and caused a ruckus. They were called into account for it by the rest of the senators in the state now, and two of them got kicked out of the Senate. Well, 2 days later, they're all back in. Now, here you had three police officers that risked their lives. They ran in when everybody else was running out. And Biden has the three woke Democrats invited up to the White House because he's so happy that they got reinstated and took a stand, and never says a word about the police officers. Now, fundamentally, bottom line, in America, there's your problem. There's your problem. So when this election comes up here, it's going to be really interesting. Because I think we have passed the point in time in America where no matter what the left does, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how many illegals come across the border, no matter how the school tries to take over your children, no matter how crime is out of control, the homeless can camp in your backyard and you can't do anything about it. The problem is, I believe the country has really shifted to the left. And I don't think as many and good as the conservatives are, and I agree with their platform, I think this country is so far gone at this point that the left is going to outweigh anything that the right's going to try to do in the election. And that's a tragic thing to say. But I saw it in the midterms. Everybody thought the Democrats were going to suffer a bloodbath because of all of the crazy stuff that they all were doing. Everybody that was a conservative and a talk show host, everybody was talking about how they're going to get blasted and that the Republicans were going to have a landslide and take over the Senate and the House. And it wasn't a landslide. The Republicans barely got one of them. That showed me where this country really is now. I'm not saying we don't have a lot of people that are conservative and have a value. What I'm saying is we don't have enough of them anymore. This country has gone so far to the left that it isn't coming back, I don't think. And your question as to how to vote in the election, And I said earlier, it probably doesn't matter. It always matters, but it doesn't matter to the fact that I don't think there's enough conservatives now left in this country, even though there's millions of them. I don't think they're going to outdo the left. It has eroded and destroyed everything in every facet of our country. The military today is a joke. Not the brave young men that are soldiers, but the leadership of it. They're more concerned now about global warming and green planet than they are training and getting them. Now, instead of teaching them how to put one between a guy's eyes at 200 yards, they're teaching them how to be gender sensitivity. And this is all coming from the generals and the staff and the higher up. In the military, once you get your first star, you're a brigadier. Before that, you go up through the ranks. You're a lieutenant, you're a captain, you're a major, then you're a lieutenant colonel, call it a light colonel, and then you become a full bird colonel. And then the next rank is you get your first star. You're a brigadier. Brigadier general is the low general on the totem pole. He sounds good. He's basically nothing. But once you enter into the general ranks, from that point on, you fundamentally cease to be a soldier, and now you become a politician. And you work up through the ranks of getting your second star, your third star, and your fourth star by how you fit into the political system. And this is the way it works. And it's a thing where, with everything to the left in our country going the way that it did, now it's affected the military. The police departments in this country, and I have nothing but total respect for the police. And it's a thing where they are greatly outgunned and they are greatly shunned. The left wants to defund the police. They hate the police just like the left hates the military. And they will do everything to make sure that a criminal will get the benefit of the doubt. And if you're a police officer, you shoot somebody, it doesn't matter if you're... I remember over here in Ferguson, Missouri, when this has been several years ago, when that big guy, the police officer shot him, and it turned Ferguson and St. Louis over there into just a boiling point. And the offer was completely vindicated of it. But I watched this, and it's like when George Floyd, the guy that got strangled over there wherever he was. Now, I'm not for anybody getting strangled. I'm not for shooting black people. I'm not for shooting white people. I'm not for shooting anybody. Kinda. But you know, in each one of those cases, take the case in Ferguson. That kid had just robbed a convenience store, bullied the guy, pushed him out of the way, and took whatever he wanted, and was on his way. The police officer got the description, he started it, he beat the police officer, he went for the police officer's gun. Now, if you were in that situation, it's almost like if you're a police officer and you find yourself in that, just give them the gun and let them kill you, because they're going to send you to prison if you defend yourself. Now, this is where we're at. Now, I'm sorry, George Floyd, if that was his name. I'm sorry he got choked to death. I don't think the cops did what was right. I really don't. They're in prison. That's probably where they need to be. Putting your knee on a guy's throat for an hour and a half is probably not the best way to subdue him. But can I be honest? Don't fight the cops when they try to take you out of the car. Don't resist arrest. When I was a kid growing up, my dad told me, if a police pull you over, you put both hands on the steering wheel, you turn the dome light on so they can see inside, and it's yes, sir, and you let them see everything that you have. And, you know, and that's really good advice. But we have such disrespect for the police because our country has went that far. Everything is gone now. I don't see it coming back. I wish I could tell you that if we put a really good president in there, that he could turn it around. I'm not saying he may not be able to do some things by executive order, but all that means is that 4 years later, somebody else undoes what he did. I don't see anybody fixing this. I don't see any election. I'm not telling you not to vote. I think you need to vote your conscience. But I think probably that this country has slid over the edge at this point in time. And I don't see it coming back. Now, that sounds like it's a bad thing. And maybe for most people in living in America, it probably is. But guys, for how many years have preachers been preaching that this day was coming? It's almost like back in the day, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, we would hear a guy get up and talk about it, and we'd say, "Boy, brother, that's going to be some thing." But now here it is, brother. It's here now. And it's almost like we got caught by surprise. We don't have enough Bible under our belt, enough history under our belt, to understand that this, what is happening in America right now, was preached that it was going to happen for the last 50 years. God's people just weren't paying attention. This should be no surprise to anybody. I used the example a couple of weeks ago. That when the nation of Israel was going into the captivity in 606 BC, they had probably 100 years of kings before the final king came in. Some of those kings were good. Some of those kings were not very good. You had guys like Josiah. You had guys like Hezekiah. You had some good guys that popped up on the scene that became king over the nation of Israel. Is anybody paying attention? And the only thing that men never learn from history is they never learn anything from history. Anybody ever pay attention that those good kings couldn't turn that country around? Israel had went over the edge, and there was no going back. If David could have been resurrected and come back and took over the throne of Israel, he could not have turned it around. It was gone. So you have some good kings and you have some bad kings, like you're going to have some good presidents and you're going to have some bad presidents. But nobody's fixing nothing. Two great passages in the Bible should clear it up for everybody. One, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Now go back to Genesis chapter 6, and a lot of things are happening back there, but he tells you that in Noah's time, that the imagination of man was only evil continually. There was no bright spots. The bright spots went out before the flood came. God took Enoch out, picture of us going out. Nothing turned around. Back then, planet Earth was headed for a deluge flood. The judgment of God was going to fall. Noah preached for 120 years. You can get glimpses of his sermons. And it changed nothing. The second thing that you'll want to see, and when you tie these two together, voila, you got America, is as it was in the days of Lot, so it shall be in the coming of the Son of Man. You're seeing now across this world, really, it's been in Europe for a while, but now in the last 20-some years, America, as it slid that way, you see all this coming to pass. And that would be the homosexuality world and the lesbian world, the transgender world. All that now actually, whether you like it or not, taking over you guys. They have more rights than you got. It doesn't matter if you are an athlete, swimmer, woman, and you've worked all your life and hard to compete with the women. Now, a man or a man who's not satisfied with being a man and turns himself into a woman, supposedly, but actually he can't do that. I mean, he can grow his hair long, paint his fingernails red, toenails too, of course, and, you know, he can go through all of the hormone things that he wants to do and become in his mind, a he to a she, but in reality, a he to an it. And the bottom line is, he's still a man. So now, here's a man who says he's a woman, who wants to now compete with women in sports, and the women in sports say, this is not fair. He's still stronger than us, he's still a man, and you know what? You don't have a say in it. And if you say anything, then you're the problem. You're a racist. You're a transgender, homophobic racist. And you're against that normal lifestyle, which is what they're going to be, because that's what it was in Lot's time. So you see those two things coming about in America. You put those two things in any country, and you ain't coming back. And that's where America is. I don't care who runs for the Republicans. One, I don't think he'll win. I think if Joe Biden runs again, he will win again. He won't win on his record. He won't win because he's done anything except stupid stuff. He won't win because he's a great president. He's probably the worst president since Jimmy Carter. He won't win because he's done anything or he's got any kind. He'll win because he represents that crowd who's overtaken America who wants to stay that way. And they outweigh us now. Excuse me. They outweigh you now. Don't outweigh me. They outweigh the conservatives now. So you can have the best guy you could ever have. He could come up with a Jimmy Crack Corn and I Don't Care plan that's just going to set the world on its ear, give you two chickens in every pot, four cars in your garage and everything in the world, and he will still lose. Because this country now has shifted to the left so far that it ain't coming back. They're going to take away every right that you have. They're going to take away your right to have a gas stove. They're now trying to pass legislation that you can't use gasoline power weed eaters or chainsaws. Everything's going electric. They tell us that in California, that in 3 years, all the cars have to be electric. They want to put together by 2020, whatever, that gas cars are obsolete and you have to have an electric car. They came out last week from the Pentagon and said that by 2027, all the military vehicles will now be electric. That's marvelous. I think that is wonderful. I could just see out there in a battle zone, man, and you're just firing away in your Abrams tank and you got to pull out because you got to go find a charging station. It's nuts. Welcome to nuts. This is what it is, folks. The Bible told you it was going here. It told you, I told you, no nation on this planet had survived 200 years once they dumped the Bible. And America dumped it in 1888. Here we are. We're not even at 200 years yet. But wait till we see what happens. This is what's going to... So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks about it. It doesn't matter how many conservatives get angry about it. It doesn't matter how much money Trump raises, the sense raises, or anybody raises, It doesn't matter even if the Republicans do win the election, which I don't think they will. It doesn't matter. It'll just be King Hezekiah coming up and doing a few good things, but the country's gone. God's people have been put to sleep. And they become so lackadaisical in their approach to Christianity. They've lost. This is good, saved, godly people now. I'm not talking about the bums out there. I'm talking about people that go to church, that are good people, that I believe love the Lord. But everybody's lost their purpose. Now Christianity is going to church. Now Christianity is accepting what everybody else says. And you know what? You can buy into that right up to the judgment seat of Christ. And I don't think God's people are going to wake up. I think you'll find people like you guys spread across this country, probably the world, that really understand to a certain degree what's going on. But I think the majority of God's people have just completely lost their goal and purpose of anything that really God had even saved them for. They go to church without purpose. They come to Bible study on Thursday night without purpose. They do things within their church without purpose. There's no urgency. There's no alarms going off in Christianity. Everybody's asleep. Everybody's lethargic. Everybody is laid back. Everybody is, don't rock the boat. Everybody is, well, you're just causing problems, or you're just some kind of guy who can't just get it. No, you're right. Everything has shifted to the woke side, and this is where it's at today. So how do you vote? I guess you try to vote to hold the line, but I will tell you right now, you will not hold the line. God's done with America. As far as God is concerned, and most people don't like me talking like this, but that's okay. You'll like it less at the judgment seat of Christ. That will be the great reality check for all of us. Boy, what a day that's going to be, man. What a day, the day the blinders come off and you see how foolish you wasted the minutes that you have left down here. And what a day that's going to be, boy, when you actually get the reality of the purpose that you should have had all along down here. And it's a thing where, you know, it's just kind of all lost now. God's people don't see it. I don't think maybe they want to see it. I think they're so far removed from any real work. And you know, Haggai back there in the book of Haggai, and I've told you this before, he said that the nation of Israel's problem, by the time they got into the minor prophets, which is right before they go into captivity, Haggai told them that the real problem is that the nation of Israel at that time had no comparison with what really the nation of Israel was under David, Solomon, back in the day. And there's probably, what, 400 or 500 years between those two points in Israel's history? And in those 400 or 500 years, they'd lost every semblance of what God really intended Israel to be. And you know how that plays out today? 99.9, and I say this because the guy might be listening tonight and he hates when I say this, 99.999% of God's people today have no comparison of what a real New Testament Bible-believing Christianity church and relationship with Christ should be. You say, well, I don't like that. I don't agree with that. It's okay. Bide your time. judgment seat of Christ is coming. You can argue your case there. And you'll see how foolish you were. You'll see how you had everything and you just threw it away. So, good luck. Me? I'm good with it. I enjoy every day. You see, I'm on God's side. I don't know what side you're on. Doesn't mean you're not on the right side. I'm just saying I don't speak for you. I'm on God's side. I'd like to see this nation get it up to kazoo. Every day I just revel in the fact that another piece falls off of this country. I laugh when somebody does something stupid. I laugh when it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. I laugh at the ridiculous stuff that is so clear to anybody with a mind, and yet it just keeps deteriorating. You know why? Because I'm on God's side. God is against America, and I'm on God's side. He gave this country the greatest book the world has ever seen. He gave this country the greatest blessings any country on this earth had ever seen, other than Israel. He gave them the greatest preachers, the greatest economy, the greatest country, the greatest blessings. And we told him to stick it. I'm on his side. Now you know what he's doing? He's returning the favor. He's sticking it to you. And I'm all for it. This country hates God. I love God. This country hates the book. I love the book. You better figure out what side you're on, man. Because I'm telling you right now, most of God's people are on the wrong side. His day is coming. You better find out which side is going to land on you. Now, the second question that came in, thank you for that question. It's a great question. Probably gave you more than you wanted, but that's okay. You don't have to pay for it. It's free. The next question I got came in, and I got this from several people, and this fits right in with where your question is. This question came in and said, Bob, with all that's going on in the scientific world and all that's going on in the world, what do you think about AI, artificial intelligence? You know, the Bible is such a book that when we read something in the Old Testament that was prophesied for us, like as it was in the days of Noah, we tend to think, and I get this, we tend to think in terms as it was in the days of Noah, everything being exactly the same. And sometimes as time goes on, the Bible will unfold itself in the events that are taking place around us that you see that the concept is true, but the particulars have changed just a little bit. Because what fit in back there won't fit in necessarily today. But it is the same concept. And what happens is the Bible will reveal to you. Like back in Nehemiah, it talks about automobiles. And it talks about the chariots bustling down the street. The context of the second coming of Christ. And it talks about the chariots bustling in the streets. And it talks about the vehicles or the chariots being fuel for fire, which is the combustion engine. And when you read that all through history, you think chariots. But now I know where I'm living today in 2023 and since 1950 or from Henry Ford, that those chariots back there, he's really talking about automobiles. Nobody rides a chariot today. And yet, if he'd have wrote back in Nehemiah in those places that the Fords and the Chevys were banging up to each other on the freeways, who in 1200 would have understood it? So he writes it when he writes it where everybody can understand a chariot, but as time goes on and things change, we now understand, see, the chariots are really automobiles. And somebody said one time, I said that, laid that out, and some Bible guy in the back says, well, Brother Bob, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but he says chariots were really pulled by horses. And I said, really? He says, yes. And I said, what car do you drive? He says, I have a Mustang. I said, how many horsepower does it have? You don't get away from the book. My point is, as the time develops, things in the Bible will develop. Now, this is my personal opinion based on my few moments I've spent in the Bible. I think artificial intelligence will be the final takeover for the Antichrist to take over planet Earth. Everything falls in line with what his question just was of where this country is going. The Daily Mail, which I get updates on all these things just so I can stay up on it, they put out a daily report today that a philosopher who is a teacher and who is very much into artificial intelligence has now come out with a paper how that artificial intelligence will bring planet Earth a new religion. Now, how did you not know it wouldn't go there? How did you not know that it wouldn't wind up there? And, you know, back in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 9, it's always been one of my favorite verses. Because he says back there, and I'm paraphrasing it now, he says back there that God will show us before things happen. Before they spring forth, he says, I will tell you of them. Now, I've always took that as a promise to me and a principle to me that God was, nothing would take me by surprise. So when we talk about his question over here about the way the country has went and the way it's going and probably why it won't turn around, I saw that already. I didn't need a political analysis of it to understand because I have the living word of God which lays all those things out, and God said he would show that to me. And the two great places he gave me, I already gave you. As it was in the days of Noah, and so shall it be, and as it was in the days of Lot. It's all you really need. And then you see Israel. You see them going through what they go through. You see how God didn't turn it around for them. You saw how they got right where we are at, and they went over the edge. And so, you know, God reveals those things. It's how he reveals it that most people don't pay attention to. They think that God is going to give them, you know, a verse, and I'm not saying in some cases he doesn't, that actually explains it, and there it is. In some cases he does. But, and I have told you this before, 1948 was the beginning of the end for planet Earth. Most people don't see that. Most people don't have enough understanding of the world and world history to see how that day changed, because that was the day when probably, and I'm just guessing here, that's a day that probably at least 400 Bible prophecies came true, because it was in that year that the nation of Israel became a nation again, and that fulfilled the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 36, Matthew chapter 24, 25. On and on it goes. When that happened, everything changed. Most of God's people were asleep. Most of God's people didn't care. Most of God's people had no real understanding of anything that impacted them and Christianity on a worldwide, because they're just, they got so many problems in their own life that they just can't, their whole personal lives are a disaster. Why are they going to look at something like that? I get that. But that's when it changed. From that point, God now began to phase out the times of the Gentiles and turned his attention to the nation of Israel. And every Christian preacher, outside of a handful that I know of, missed it. And at that point in time, the world changed. And it got on an accelerated path to get to the second coming of Christ. And as it moved along those lines, everything began to fall apart. The Bible had been dumped in 1888, so by 1948, Bible's off the scene. We start to see the government go to pieces, where we're at today. And, you know, it's a thing where now the first UFO shows up in 1947 out of Mount Rainier in Washington. And now, from 1947 to where we're at today, for years and years and years, you were told by your government that UFOs were just figments of people's imagination, mass hysteria. It didn't matter if the guy that saw it was a state trooper or a military guy or an Air Force pilot who was trained to understand all those things. Now you're told it was mass hysteria. I mean, you'd have places where I have an original copy of Project Blue Book. And they did away with it in the 70s, but I have all the accounts up to that time. And there was one count down in someplace in Texas where over 400 people saw two shining lights, and big shining lights, and they were moving in between water towers and buzzing around, and they called the police. The police saw it. Everybody saw it. 400 people saw it. The Air Force investigated Venus rising early. Now, folks, when Venus comes up and goes between water towers and buzzes the field, it's time to go home. Now, today, here we are, a couple of steps closer. Now, everybody in the government is faced with the fact that UFOs are real. They're no longer imagination. Now, everybody is concerned and believing that they're real. Now, if you had a Bible, you would have known they were real. I mean, you find your few first UFOs back in Psalms 104. You don't have to go to Blue Book. You kidding me? But there you are, you see. Everything is now coming together. You see, artificial intelligence is so dangerous simply because it will take over everything in this world. It hasn't even got established yet, and there are people who are taking it and using it to send you a phone call mimicking the voice of your daughter, telling you, your dad, all the intimate details that you need to know, that you're stranded someplace and need him to wire you $1,000. It sounds like her. She knows your name, she knows the dog, she knows everything that you would want to verify it, but it ain't her. In India, Buddhism. For 4 or 5 years now, in some of the Buddhist temples, the priest has been a robot with an artificial intelligence. You see, Stephen Hawking was a weird guy. He was a brilliant guy, but he was a weird guy. He was a bona fide atheist. And he's dead now. He's not an atheist any longer, by the way. But it's a thing where he said that artificial intelligence would destroy planet Earth. Elon Musk, who's in the middle of all this, he has put out the warning against artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence is the last piece of the puzzle for me. Now, I don't know exactly how it's going to all come out and work. It'll get unfold as it gets closer. Who would have thought 3 years ago that artificial intelligence would have been even on the table? This is how fast things are moving. Things are moving at such a rapid rate that it's almost unbelievable. When you look at Genesis chapter 6, we see a race of giants. Those race of giants were put here by the devil. Fallen angels came down, cohabited with human women, produced a race of giants called the sons of God, and they were all here to be a super race that was going to overtake mankind in a good way to the devil to take over planet Earth. They came down with the ideas and the plans to make mankind better. There is your first encounter with artificial intelligence. Genesis chapter 6. Stay with me. I know. I'm a fanatic. I know. I'm psycho. I know. It's part of my charm. Bear with me. So here we are today, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall be in the coming of the Son of Man. We're thinking the giants have to come back. We're waiting now for Now, back in Genesis 6, the giants were anywhere from 20 to 30 feet tall. They have found bones that are all through this world, which is always covered up. Skeletons of men of huge proportion. It's always covered up. And I have been asked many, many times over the years, you know, Bob, if that is true about as it was in the days of Noah, how is it going to be that the giants come back down? Well, I had my answers, you know, as limited as I had at the information I had. I thought that maybe, you know, toward the end, after the rapture, that the sons of God, the giants, would come back down. I always struggled with that a little bit, but it was the best answer I had. But as time goes on and things get revealed, you begin to see that everything back in Genesis 6, even though what's going to happen, may happen just a little different way. You see, and this hit me one day. Why would it not be physical sons of God to come down to be giants today? And it just hit me. In Genesis chapter 6, it's the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a visible, literal kingdom that God now is beginning to build, that Noah becomes the king of, and then they go back and forth till Abraham gets it unconditionally. But it's a physical kingdom. So when the devil wanted to take over the world in Genesis chapter 6, he needed a physical race to do it. So he brought down the giants. The giants in Genesis chapter 6 were real people in a real literal kingdom to get that kingdom for the devil. A literal piece of ground. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall be in the coming of the Son of Man. We're not in the kingdom of heaven anymore. We're now in the kingdom of God. So he's not going to send down giants. He's not going to send down 30 feet tall men, 20 feet tall men, or at least I don't think so. He's not going to send down the giants as they were giants in Genesis chapter 6, but he's going to send his giants. It's going to be the giants of intellect, artificial intelligence. It's not going to be the stature that's the giant, it's the mindset. Because we're in a spiritual kingdom now, and it's dealing with a mind. Let this mind be in you. So we're dealing with mind. So it's going to be the giants of intellect. And all that has to happen is we bring this thing, we develop this thing. Right now in Washington today, they had a closed-door meeting with President, yes, you guessed it, to discuss the value of artificial intelligence. Now, I'll give it to him. He needs a little bit. But I don't think that was the plan. What's going to happen, in my estimation, the guy that asked the question, everything is moving so quickly. Everything is moving in that same direction from 1948. God has showed us down through history, if you're paying attention, what was coming our way. We all think we got to find it in the Bible, and there's a lot we do find in the Bible, but you got to remember, the real secret to what the devil is doing and his plan is found in what he's doing. Because what he's doing, though, you're already told there's nothing new under the sun. So if you want to find out what the devil's doing, yes, he masks it and he hides it. But it is always right there under the surface, because whatever he does, whatever unsaved man does, whatever he puts out, whatever he writes, whatever he produces, it all has to come back to the source of truth. He may distort it, he may twist it, he may turn it upside down and inside out, but it all comes back to that book. For instance, every movie you ever saw, there will only be about 20 original plots for any movie. And those 20 original plots found in the Word of God. When you understand that, then you realize that Hollywood, however you want to say it, is a bunch of unsaved people who are putting out something that they think is going to entertain you or going to give you or scare you or move you in one way or the other. In actuality, they are linked up to the Bible because it's the only source of truth. And whenever an unsaved man puts out, he has to get it from here. He may twist it, turn it, but if you got the book and you know the book, you can see right down between the pages. For instance, Frankenstein. Now, we all knew he dubbed Boris Karloff when he played in the 1933 Frankenstein, the first one that came out. There's been how many remakes of that? You know the theme of Frankenstein, don't you? You got a doctor who makes a creation. And at the end of the movie, the creation kills his creator. Gee, I wonder where they got that at. Every love story you ever saw, you have a man and a woman. And usually, when the man falls in love with a woman, she doesn't want anything to do with him, but as he pursues her in time, she changes her mind, she falls in love, they get married, and they happily ever after. Now, where'd that plot come from? You like westerns? You got a good guy who always wears white. You got a bad guy who always wears black. He's the villain. And you got a woman who's always in the mix of the two. And the villain wants to steal her land because her husband's dead. And he tries to get her, and so he catches her, ties her on the railroad track so the train will run her over. She's there kicking her little legs, and he thinks, I got it. And out of nowhere comes the good guy on a white horse, saves the woman, and she kills the bad guy. I wonder where that plot came from. Oh, I got one. How about Tarzan and Jane in a garden gone wild? Wonder where that plot came from. Oh, I got one. My favorite. The Lone Ranger. Yeah, the Lone Ranger, he's one of those guys that, always rode a white horse. He wore white. He never kissed anybody, never fornicated. The only person he ever kissed was his horse. He never killed anybody. Bad guy could be a half a mile away. He'd take out his gun, shoot up in the air, and off a tree limb and hit the guy in the arm and he'd arrest him. And when he's always showing up in the nick of time, isn't he, huh? When it all looks hopeless, here he comes out of nowhere. And then he leaves, and they all say, who was that masked man? I knew who he was. Then you got the counterpart. He rides a black horse. He wears black clothes. He's a Roman Catholic. And he goes around putting marks on things. El Zorro, see? Wonder where that plot came from. Then you got the old homesteaders out there, you know, they're making their way to California, and they're out there, you know, and they left St. Louis on the old wagon trains, and they're out there in the prairies, you know, and they're out there going there, got their dreams all out there, and all of a sudden they're ringed around with Indians. They circle the wagons, and they're shooting at all the Indians, and the Indians are outwhelming them, and they're just going to, it's like they're going to wipe them out. And it's just down when they're almost down to the last bullet, and they don't know what they do. Off in the distance, you know what they hear? Here comes the cavalry on horseback and saves the day. Hey, that Jew's going to get down the Valley of Armageddon. The Antichrist is going to ring him around. Look, they're going to get wiped up. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to lift up their head. They're going to hear the trumpet, and their redemption draweth nigh. Wonder where that plot came from. You see, what the devil has done is given you everything you ever needed to know about anything right in front of you, but you never use the book. When 1948 happened, you know what began to take place? Every science fiction movie you ever saw in your life got you started to be prepared that there was going to be extraterrestrial life out there. They were smarter than us. They had artificial intelligence. It started in 1948 and went right up through the thing, and it, even to today. The best one was E.T. that was portrayed as Christ. When the marquee for E.T. came out, it was an extraterrestrial finger with the Leonardo da Vinci finger of God touching man up in the Sistine Chapel. Only it was an alien. And little E.T. was a perfect type of Christ. They wanted you to believe that when Christ shows up, he's going to be an extraterrestrial. So when he finally dies, he comes to this earth, his adopted mother is named Mary. When he gets killed and he's in the hospital over there, you know, and he's dying, they pronounce him dead. Oh, in the back scene there, trained eye, if you look at the clock, it's exactly the same time that Jesus died on the cross. Oh, yeah. And then he what? Resurrects. See? And then we come on through the things and we start to see how man tries to give all of the information because man is frail and man makes mistakes. So now we turn it over to an artificial intelligence. And the artificial intelligence now, he takes that, and now we don't have to make mistakes anymore because artificial intelligence now is going to run everything. So there's no human error in it. It'll fly the planes. It'll make the cars. It'll do all those things, and now it's perfect. And we saw that in Terminator 1, 2, and 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Skynet. Oh, yeah, it's right there, man. You cannot separate whatever an unsaved man puts out in this world. He has to get his source no matter how twisted it may be. It all comes back to that book because that book is the source of truth. You can't get around it. And it's a thing where, yeah, artificial intelligence, in my humble opinion, will be the end game. I'm not saying it's there yet. It'll come to the place where it'll get to a point where how they use it, then the sons of God will come down and envelop it, and then you'll have your real giants out of Genesis chapter 6. And through that, they'll take over the world. Now, I don't know that we'll be here when that happens. We may go out before that. Maybe we won't. I don't know. It's going to be awful close. I'm just telling you this. I'm not speaking to you when I say this as your pastor. I'm telling you this as your friend. You better get your head out of wherever it's at, because he's coming. And it's right around the corner. And while you're fingle-diddling around with your world and your life and all your little 10-cent problems, the world is dying and going to hell. And when you stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ, and you truly are saved, born again, washed in the blood, I hope you got more and a better an excuse than the one you're carrying tonight. We ain't got a lot of time left. People don't like me because I'm radical. I get that. People don't like me because of the fact that I say things that they think I shouldn't say. I like that too. People are upset because they think I get too passionate about things. I like that too. But see, that's the difference between me and you. I don't give a rip. He's coming. I've made a lot of dumb moves in my life and a lot of dumb mistakes, and I paid the price for it. But I want to tell you this. I ain't cutting out in these last days. I know where I'm at. I know where we're at. I know where it's going, and I know what needs to be done. If you can't figure it out, that's your problem. But it's over. It's over. It's one of those things that God's people got put to sleep on. You believed everything everybody told you. You hung out with the wrong crowd and you got some bad advice. And here you are. The most exciting time in the history of the world, maybe other than outside that tomb. And just as John missed it, most of God's people are going to miss this one. This is no time to go lax. This is no time to take your finger off the trigger. This is no time to get tired and worn out. This is the time to put your head down, shoulder down, run the line. Give it everything you got, because you ain't got a lot of time to give it. There's a verse in the Bible that I can't recall at this particular moment in time, but it's talking about the Lord Jesus, and he's going and he stumbles and he falls, and then it says that he went a little farther. And I've always looked at that and thought to myself, I want that to be what my life is. I will fall. We all fall, sooner or later. But then you get up and you go a little farther and a little farther. And you meet him when he comes back. I think for most of God's people, the rapture is going to be a surprise. You know, and I don't fully get this, so please don't go here anywhere with it, because I don't understand what I'm about to say. But if he says before anything happens, he'll show it to you, then that means some way he's got to show the rapture to us before it gets here. Now, I don't know anything about that. I'm not saying he showed it to me. I'll probably be the last guy I showed it to. You can't tell me. I used to hear the old guys preach this. You know the old guys, the other crazy old guys that you know nothing about. I used to hear them say, you know, nobody knows, says, don't know when the rapture is going to be. And he says, you know what? He says, I believe that because the Bible says no man knoweth the day and the hour. But he says, I want to tell you boys something. The Holy Spirit of God is living inside me today. This is him talking, not me. Holy Spirit of God is living inside me today. The guy that was preaching this was about 82 years old. He says, he's been inside of me for 75 years. And that perfect, beautiful Holy Spirit of God has had to see every wicked thing I did. Every ungodly thing I looked at. Every filthy thought that I ever had. Every blasphemous thing I ever said or thought. Every place I went that I shouldn't have went, he had to go. And he had been grieved by me for 75 years. And even now today that I'm saved, preaching the Word of God and love the book and love God and looking forward to his coming, he still has to put up with me. So I want to tell you something, boys. I think I may not know the day of the rapture. I may not know the time of the rapture, but the Holy Spirit of God living inside me does. And when that day comes and he knows he's going to be set free from this old filthy temple, when that day comes that he doesn't have to listen and hear all the filth that I've got to put up with, That day comes that he knows he's going to be reunited with the Father. He's going to be doing flip-flops inside of me. And I'll know something's up. I heard that message. 1971. He's a radical. Psycho. Oh, he's one of those old guys that just, you know, he just one of those old coots out there, you know, that, yeah, right, yeah, okay. Hold on to that. Well, there it is. The average person would say, this country's in a mess. My opinion is, I think we're in the best shape we ever have been in. Because I'm going home. I'm not going to have to put up with it anymore. I'm not going to have to listen to the whining and the crying and the drama. I'm not going to have to hear the crap and all of the stuff. It's going to be a thing where this old country has had its shot, just like Israel did. And now tonight you got yours. Because he's coming. I don't care what you believe or what you've been taught or who told you what mistakes you made in life. You better pull it out and you better get it straight and better realize that, hey gang, it's right around the corner. You can't deny it. It's here. Somebody asked me a couple of weeks ago, they said, hey, one of the Bible study guys out there, he says, hey Bob, he says, I know everything's going on out there. He says, what's the next sign that we need to be looking for the Lord to come back? And I typed him back and I said, pal, I'm not looking for a sign. I'm listening for a sound. There ain't no more signs. The next sound you hear, we'll be out of here. And I'll tell you what, I know. Blow me off. Curse me under your breath. Laugh at me behind my back. Say he doesn't know what he's talking about. Oh yeah, here we go again. Yeah, right up to the judgment seat of Christ. And your basket at the judgment seat of Christ will be as empty as your excuse tonight. But there ain't no way around it. I wish there was. For you. Not for me. I want out of here so bad I can't stand it. I'm done with it. And I'm just hanging on here, doing what God's called me to do, as hard as I can do it, and harder if I can. Whatever time I got left, it's going to be everything I can give him. And not just because of the fact that it's times at a time, but for the fact that that's what he deserves. He deserves our best. But sometimes we get ourselves so screwed up in our thinking and our process and our lives and everything, we can't give him what's best. And that's a shame. But when we get up there, boys, he ain't gonna glamour at all our big homes, all our big boats, all our big cars, all our big this, all our big that. He's not going to say, man, you really did good down there. Drink the Kool-Aid. All right, let's pray. We're